In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. It's nice to see so many of you here on this gorgeous day as we continue in the spirit of Pentecost this first Sunday after. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you will find on the inside aisle and pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. You may include any information that you would like us to have in order to keep in touch with you, particularly with our Providence publicist or newsletter mailing lists if you are not already on them. Please take time to join us for a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary after worship this morning, where you will find many things there for you. You will find Sally Lockhart and Juliet Chan signing up people for summer childcare as we are moving into the summer season in this time. And we will be, you'll see a note in your bulletin also about our youth who are going to be in service this summer as they prepare for the mission trip, and they're raising some funds for that. So if you have projects that you would like them to do, find one of the pieces of paper that you can sign up on. Let us know what you're interested in and your contact information, and we'll try to hook you up with someone who's willing to do that. This today is also our newsletter deadline for the July-August issue as we move into the summer season. And there are also sign-up sheets for the Pride Festival, for volunteering with the Pride Festival, or you can see Dan Blackford for further information about where we need our volunteers. We have a great crew signed up for Camp Street, so I think we're okay with that as well as we double book and move out in mission next Saturday. In your bulletin this morning, you'll see a calendar of events that are happening this week, things in the life of this church. And another that we would like to draw your attention to is that there will be an Arts Committee meeting on Thursday evening at 7 at the Starbucks at Wayland Square. And you can see Keith Cooper, Judy Blackadar, or Alice Cooper, or Jill Moles, if you want to raise your hands. If you'd like to be part of our arts efforts in this congregation, please talk to them and see if you can connect in with them as well. This morning, after worship, probably after coffee hour, though I'm not exactly sure, yes, Monica's nodding yes, there will be a violin and viola recital by the students of Monica Vanderbond that are members of this church. So you're welcome and encouraged to join and hear our young players playing this morning. Are there other announcements this morning? Please be reminded that our Bible study, our Bible Academy continues through the summer months at 9 o'clock, so if you would like to take advantage of the fact that the sun is up earlier and you might be too, and come to Bible study this summer, we would love to have you upstairs in the couches room. In the beauty of this day, we come to worship, to praise, to pray, and to sing. For great is the mercy of our Lord, new every morning. Let us come to worship God in song. Thank you. Without God, we are like branches without roots, flailing in the wind. Christ himself invites us to turn to God, to confess our sin and those places where we need forgiveness. In that spirit, let us come to a time of prayer, first in silence, then praying together in unison. Together we pray. Creating, redeeming, sustaining God, you pour your living spirit into our lives. We confess that we are not receptive to your presence. You stir us like the unpredictable wind, suggesting astonishing things like feeding and forgiving our enemies when we feel most uncharitable. You sweep over us like flames of fire. Yet we persist in ignoring the light. We remain untouched and unmoved, and so unloved and unloving. O God, you can bring us to life again, sensitive to the presence and call of your Spirit. Forgive us. Open us again to your creating, redeeming, and empowering love. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing verse 1 of our song of confession, God of compassion, in mercy befriend us, number 261 in the large hymnal. Paul writes to the Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Let us rejoice in this great power to conquer sin. Amen. Time in our worship that we share joys and concerns of the community, and Zion is going to take the microphone around to those of you that would like to offer up joys and concerns. Pastor B is finishing up her move to Pawtucket, so she will be much more local right now, and that's why she's not with us in worship at the end of a long week of moving, but she will be back next week with us.
I'd like prayers for the General Assembly, our national meeting that's going on right now, and for all the commissioners, that God lead them in their discernment on the issues that they will be voting on. I'd also like continued prayers for Walter. And as of Friday, I will be gone for about 3 weeks. I'm going to Indiana for my, believe it or not, 60th high school class reunion. I graduated at 6. And then I'll be going out to Oregon to visit my son and his wife and my granddaughter, and my other two grandchildren will be coming up for a week. Meanwhile, Walter will be going to Philadelphia. I have a long day. Walter will be going to Philadelphia with his daughter and son-in-law for his granddaughter's high school graduation, and then he'll come back and live with them in their place in Newport.
It's a great joy to be in the choir, and I feel very sad today that this is our last Sunday. And
for the summer.
Oh.
Well, what? I don't know what I just said, but anyway.
Elena is a wonderful spiritual leader as well as musical leader, and she has the patience of Job because we love to pull little pranks, and you would have to be with us to know what kind of stuff we do. So great thanks to Elena, and I do have concern, and that is my daughter-in-law Debbie, who's having hernia surgery on Friday.
I send the special prayers for all the fathers in the congregation and all the other fathers out there, and taking the time to wish them a very happy Father's Day.
This has been an exciting week for us. Julia graduated Monday, and Dylan made some cupcakes that are in the back to share with you all to celebrate. And her birthday, Julia's birthday was yesterday, so she's 18, so we give thanks for her and her life. And my parents were with us. I introduced them last week, and they celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary Friday, so we give thanks for that too.
I have a couple joys. We have another birthday. Nancy Moreland's birthday was, I think, yesterday or today, the 15th, June 15th. And you don't ask a Scottish lady what her age was, Julia. I know you're 18, but so anyway, if you like, you can ask her what celebration it is. I know she's been at the church here over 60 years, so we know you're more than 60, Nancy, okay? Now, the other joy is that, and I noticed he's sitting in the back, you folks that don't buy the Providence Journal, you've got to get with it, because our elder, and you know, in the church, once an elder, always an elder. Okay, here's our elders. Who is this? Come on, somebody. Who writes? Okay, Fitzpatrick, right. Okay, so anyway, you Democrats, this is for you, and you Republicans, your time's coming on Tuesday night. I'm not going to tell you what time, what channel. Get yourself a paper and look it up. This will be in the Hope Room. Okay, thank you.
This is a joy, but also touched with sadness. The joy is that being part of the ELF group, which was the English Learners Fellowship, we have gotten to know many, many people. And the person that I have gotten to know this year is Shomin and her daughter Alice. They are leaving on Thursday to return to China. Shomin has been at Brown this year as a visiting scholar. So we say hello and goodbye, but we will keep them in our prayers. My other joy, and all of us people who are that age are very careful how we introduce our friends. This is a friend that I have known ever since I was in high school, and we went to college together. She's visiting from Albuquerque, New Mexico. So please introduce yourself. This is my old roommate, Edie Powers from New Mexico.
And what's her name, Judy?
Edie.
Edie?
Yeah.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I give thanks to God and each and everyone for your prayers. I went to Ghana for the funeral of my grandmother, and everything went successful. All the family are doing well, and I come back with my mom too to visit.
Oh,
so
wow.
She's here with us.
This is a joy and a prayer. My sister and her husband are having my first niece, and her due date was a week ago already, so just a prayer for her to have the baby soon, because I've never had a baby, but for those of you who have, she's definitely ready for the baby to come, and in a lot of discomfort, and just a joy for being a first-time aunt.
On the theme
theme of graduations, we celebrated Nathan's graduation from eighth grade, and along with Gus, who's not here today, I think. And just kind of a word of thanks. Oh, yes, yay. A word of thanksgiving for what I think is a really wonderful school, their school, Community Prep School, and just do really marvelous things there. Dan Corley, the founder, and started 30 years ago. And other schools like that that are doing just really wonderful work.
So I would also like to add to that that I congratulate Nathan on 6 years of perfect attendance, his entire career at Community Prep. And also want to ask prayers for my friend's family, the Anastasio family. They just have multiple health problems and family problems. And I also want to pray for the animals on the farm that they have, because it's really difficult to handle all these problems and take proper care of these animals too. So prayers for the Anastasios and the animals.
Have a bit of a list, but this is the last you'll hear from us for a while. So our joy is that Lynn returned this morning from traveling. I think he might win the prize for coming the longest distance to make it to church from Halifax, Nova Scotia this morning. This is our last Sunday before we head to Pennsylvania next weekend for a wedding, and then on to Chicago the following week for 6 months while Lynn's on sabbatical. So we appreciate your prayers for travel and good transition out there and good time there. Quick update on my mom. She was released from the hospital on Monday. She is in what they call, I think, health care at their retirement community. So her medications and food are all being taken care of, and physical therapy, and I think she's doing okay. She'll be there probably at least a month, and then possibly just go on into some kind of nursing care. I don't know if she'll ever go back to their cottage where they had been living. So just continued prayers for them and for my dad as he figures out how to support her and also take care of himself in the cottage while she's not there with him. And we'll miss you.
I have two joys to share. One is that Julie B. continues to be my volunteer publicist. I appreciate it. And the other one is that Ned graduated this weekend from the International Charter School. Very proud of him. He speaks Spanish very well, better than me and Alan. And he was the class secretary this year.
Thanks for coming back over here. I forgot one. Many of you know Mike Chen and Courtney Olson, and they had their first baby recently, I think about a week ago, little Oliver. So Mike is a new father and celebrating Father's Day for the first time, and they seem very happy and good. And their dog, Sadie, seems to be handling the baby okay, too.
And Oliver looks frightfully like Mike Chen.
Speaking of graduations, my grandson did graduate with his class, and it was just wonderful. And I'd like to put in a plug for the high school, the Alvarez, which was going to be closed down because of poor test scores last year, and the students rallied and they kept Alvarez open, and it's amazing the number of colleges that these kids are going to. It took up an entire page two columns. This is mostly Hispanic, Hispanic and Black. I think I was one of the few Anglo people in the room. And when they sang, we said the Pledge of Allegiance, the whole place was just in an uproar, cheering, and it was just, I don't know, just such a tremendous graduation to attend and to know that these students kept their school open, and the valedictorian has a full-page scholarship to Skidmore this year. That's just one of the examples of what they've achieved.
Let us pray. God, your splendor clothes the world with light and illumines also the shadows of the heart. Your spirit, who refreshes as the wind and warms as flame, dwells within, prompting dreams and visions, many of those that we've heard realized this day. Into this world you came as our Lord Jesus Christ, with words setting the world to rejoicing, with touch bringing the broken to their feet. And yet, even now, pain, war, violence, and destruction too often reign. We pray for those places in our world in desperate need of healing, and especially for peace. For the people of Iraq and the Middle East in these days, heal our world from warring madness, particularly war that is fought in the name of faith and divides neighbor from neighbor. Your healing, O God, comes in ways mysterious and breathtaking. We pray for strength for your people in need, for those in long battles with cancer and other diseases, named and unnamed. We pray your healing strength for Walter, for Debbie, for the Anastasio family and the management of their household and farm. For Joe's mom and her father in this time of transition into the healthcare facility. We pray for all those who are in transition in their lives, so much a reality of this congregation, for new opportunities and hopes and dreams to be realized, for strength for the journey, for graduates and those moving to new schools and adventures. We lift up to you, Julia, this day. We lift you, Shomin and Alice, after their year here in Brown and with the ELF group. We pray for Vivian's safe return in Thanksgiving and her mother with her this day. We seek your prayers for Jade's newly expecting niece, for safe delivery for her sister, and the wonder and joy of that. We celebrate the birth of Oliver to Courtney and Mike, who have moved from our midst but continue in our hearts. We thank you for graduations this week, for Nathan and Gus, for Ned, for Oliver, for Joelle, for the opportunity that the Fisher family has to move on to Chicago, even as we will miss them, but this opportunity for sabbatical and new horizons ahead. We thank you, O God, for the joys of our lives, for your presence with Pastor B in this week, for the move into new times of recreation in this season of summer, for shifts that may reflect new ways you may be leading us. We give thanks this day for those who have been fathers for us, showing a full range of emotion and strength, guiding and leading, nurturing and challenging us to follow where you alone would lead in faith. We pray your presence with all fathers in this place, and remember those who have gone before us to life eternal. We thank you for the joys and opportunities of travel in this season, and pray your safety for Judy. We thank you for the gift of music in this place, for worship band and chancel choir, for Ghana choir, for all who bring and enrich our lives in worship. We thank you for birthdays, for Nancy Moreland, for Julia, for the ways in which you bring folks from our lives back into our lives in many ways, for Edie's visit here with the Blackadars. We pray your traveling mercies for Heather and David Spader as they move on to Utah this week. We continue, O Lord, to pray for the work of your wider church, for the General Assembly in session in this time, for this church in its search for new pastoral leadership, for the ways in which you guide and help us to live in the ways that you would have us move and reflect your glory. You live, O God, in spirit and in truth, and you call us to trust in the power of your Spirit, day by day, encounter by encounter, in the power of our Lord who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message this morning brought to us by one of our people that is studying theology and preparing for New Horizons of Ministry for Melody Ward.
Good morning. How are you doing? Oh, you're going to find out, Theo. Oh, yeah. How is everybody this morning? Oh, you guys look great. So today is Holy Trinity Sunday. How many fingers do I have up? 1, 2, 3. So sometimes when we talk about God, we talk about Jesus, and we talk about the Holy Spirit. Three things. It's pretty deep, guys. I'm still wrapping my mind around it, okay? But I thought we might try something today. I don't have enough eggs. As my husband asked me, why was I taking the eggs out of the house this morning? However, Theo, would you hold this? Would you hold this for me, please? Got an egg. Watch this. I'm going to try not to destroy the car.
My dad does that when he's making dinner sometimes.
That's the white of the egg. Did you see it drop down?
Yeah.
What's this?
Shell.
That's the shell. What just came out of the shell?
Yolk.
Well, the white. But here comes the yolk. You want to drop it in? Yolk. Drop it in real quick.
Yolk is here.
The yolk is here. And hold on to the shell. All right, you hold the shell. You hold the shell. Come on around. Come on down. You can come off your seats. But look. Come on over. There is the yolk. Hold the shells up. And the white fell in there. But they all came out of what? All came out of the egg, right? So everything is the egg, but there are three things. The shell, what else?
Yolk.
The yolk, what else?
And the white.
And the white.
Yeah. And the white.
So we got three things that all come in one. Well, guess what, guys?
What?
When we talk about God as this wonderful person who loves us, guess who came as his son, right? It was Jesus. But then there's this other really wonderful thing that we talk about as spirit. Do you remember when Pastor B talked about the air? We can't see it, but we breathe it, right?
Yeah.
Well, spirit is a little bit like that. We can feel it. If
Right?
Energy.
Energy.
You can say it. And power. Say it loud, Theo.
Power.
Let's say a little prayer. You ready? Close your eyes. Hold onto your shells.
Holy One, I ask that you grant us the grace and the energy and the light and the power to remember that Spirit guides us every day. I ask that you walk with my friends and with all of the people in this church, guiding us in your power, in your light, in your energy, and in your grace. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Children ages 3 through 3rd grade may go downstairs for childcare this morning. And the family room is available for younger children and parents to be up there as well.
Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So the Old Testament lesson this morning can be found in Psalm 8, and that can be found in your pew Bibles on 466, large print 605, and also projected on the screen. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majesty is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet. All sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And the New Testament lesson can be found in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, in Pew Bibles 32, and large print 41, and also projected. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Now join us in singing the hymn found in your Sing the Faith hymnals on page 2042, "I Believe in God Almighty."
At least once a year, I believe we should indeed take time to ponder the mystery of the Trinity. I wish I could stand here and say that I'm going to give you all the answers you could ever need. That's why I called upon our most active seminary student to bring the children's message this morning. So I invite you to ponder that amazing mystery of God, Son, and Holy Spirit, all together in one. And perhaps maybe this season of the year, as we move into summer, the season following Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit, this season perhaps invites us even more fully to enter into that mystery of the God who creates, the Jesus who walks with us, the Holy Spirit, which empowers, brings energy, brings light, brings hope, is our most visible around us way of seeing God at work in life. And so it is perhaps even more fitting that our lectionary passage for this Sunday after Pentecost is the Great Commission of Jesus himself. When Jesus gathered on that high mountain with 11 of his disciples, a very incomplete number, for 12 is the most complete number. When Jesus gathered on that high mountain, that amazing creation that mountains are for finding and experiencing the nature and the awesomeness of God. Of course, I grew up in Washington State, so I have to say that. Those of you who find it in water may feel it similarly as well. They gathered on that mountain, those 11. They gathered to hear again, to encounter Jesus, to see him at the top of that mountain. We gather too in worship each day to experience an encounter with Jesus, an encounter with the Holy Spirit, an opportunity to draw closer to God. To God, our ability, like in those 11 who gathered with Jesus, our ability is less important than our availability. Our ability can even get in the way if it obscures God's role and power at work in our achievement. The history books are full of stories of gifted persons whose talents were overlooked by a procession of people until someone believed in them. We heard and celebrated this morning the stories of transition points in many of our lives, of graduations, of teachers that are continuing on to the end of the school year who have guided us in that process, of amazing schools and ways in which we learn and grow and stretch and move in new directions. But the history books are full of stories of those gifted people who needed that teacher, who needed that one to unlock and believe in them. Einstein was 4 years old before he could speak and 7 before he could read. A newspaper editor fired Walt Disney because he had no good ideas. Haydn ever gave up of making a musician of Beethoven who seemed, quote, a slow and plodding young man with no apparent talent except a belief in music. How many of us have been people who have been touched by the lives of someone who believed in us? Perhaps even someone in this congregation who believed in you and a vision of what you might be or become. Last week we celebrated confirmation of a number of our youth who have been in that year-long confirmation process of exploring their faith, of learning about the Trinity, of drawing closer to God, and they were mentored each by one in this congregation. This Trinity, Creator, Savior and Lord and Spirit, speaks to us in new ways. The Spirit moves in us in ways that right now is rearranging my sermon as I speak it to you. Tied to that great commission, a fitting place for us to be this day, this week after confirmation, after Pentecost. A friend of mine said that we shouldn't call the season after Pentecost ordinary time, and one of my friends was saying, I'm going to start a crusade that we call it the season of Pentecost, where we focus on the Spirit and the giving of the Spirit. So today I wear my red stole. It has green too for ordinary time, but I wear my red stole to claim that Spirit. That Spirit that we need in this time, as this church is in transformation here, as your lives, I know, are in transformation and transition. What is the world in which you are called to move and live your faith? In work, in family, in school, in friends, in volunteer commitments and opportunities, in ways that you care for a world far beyond this address in Hope Street. The world comes to us differently as we encounter one another in this community. As we welcome back Vivian from her travels to Ghana, as we see new faces in the stories coming out of Iraq, as we know and pray for and have welcomed into our community, Matham, Veen, Jalila, and Faraj. We can join, not just in this community of ourselves, but in solidarity with a world that needs Creator, Christ, and Spirit. Jesus did not start with that message that he ended up with in the Great Commission in chapter 28, because most of Jesus' message, as it was recorded in Matthew's gospel, was a message to the Jewish community. And it opens up when we come to this great commission at the end. It opens up in a call to discipleship, a call to discipleship to those 11 who were gathered in incompleteness in that moment. Some doubting, we read in that scripture. But it gathers in a message of discipleship, a message that is used 260 times in the Gospel and Acts, this word disciple. Though we usually think of disciple as Jesus' 12 disciples, in reality it extends so much more broadly to the community which followed Jesus, to the community that calls us forth to follow Jesus. For discipleship is not a once and forever learning, but one which must be exercised and lived, and we must go out into this world to live it. Some of us will live it very, very locally, and some of us will go to the ends of the earth. Anne Frank, just before she was taken off to her death in 1944, wrote, "How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before beginning to improve the world." Where will we take that flame of Pentecost that we've experienced? Beyond the immediate concerns and circles of our lives, but living into new lives of discipleship. It's a weighty challenge that Jesus gives to these 11 to go into the world, a challenge that is not left for them to judge or to convict, but to make disciples and baptize, to teach, to show forth their own discipline rooted in Christ, a witness rooted in humility. All authority for the results of that continues to be with God. And we are to tell that story. We are to live that story, to witness to the faith that we have received, to show it forth in all aspects of our lives, to let it speak. Baptism in the early church, we remember, was after a considerable amount of preparation and learning when a believer was truly ready to renounce a former life and claim the new life, a power, a way offered by Christ. We experienced that embrace of new life last week in the baptisms of Becca and Will. We grow in that embrace from wherever we start the journey. The disciples are challenged. Even on a mountaintop of great beauty with Jesus himself coming in full glory, they worship him, but some doubt it. And we too sometimes doubt our abilities and the power of Christ to work in and through us. And yet we gather as a community to be strengthened by one another, by the community as a whole, to hear God speak to us right at a moment when we need it most. It is a progression from hearing and responding to that good news. This same root for disciple is found in the word discipline, to surrender to teaching, to be open to transformation. It takes discipline to be a disciple. We have to show up to be disciplined, to be disciples. Living faith does not just happen without our attention to the world around us. To live as Jesus has commanded, loving God and neighbor, to make disciples, baptize, teach, and remember, and to trust it all to God. One commentator has said, and I like this to remember, that we need to act as if it all depends on us and to trust as if nothing does, that it depends all on God. Jesus reminds us of that in this great commission. Let us go then into all the world that God has created and redeemed, worlds that are yet to open up in front of us. Let us grow to live as the disciples that Jesus calls us to live, in the power of the Spirit that has been promised by God through Jesus himself. Amen.
So please rise and join with me in reciting the affirmation of faith found in your bulletin. The good news of the gospel is that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, creates, redeems, sustains, rules, and transforms all things and all people. This one living God, the scriptures say, liberated the people of Israel from oppression and covenanted to be their God. By the power of the Spirit, this one living God is incarnate in Jesus Christ, who came to live in the world, die for the world, and be raised again to new life. Amen.
We want to say a special word of thanks, as you've already heard, for to our chancel choir for their unfailing devotion in this season of this year. Many of you do not know that they rehearse on Friday evenings and before worship on Sundays and after worship on Sundays through the academic year. And we rejoice and give thanks that they and the worship band and the Ghana choir continue to enrich our world with music in this season. And we thank you for your service in this time.
We are very blessed to have such musical talent among us. And now is the time in our service that we show our gratitude to God by giving our gifts and offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, from whom comes all that is good, we praise you for your mercies, for your goodness that has created us, your grace that has sustained us, your discipline that has corrected us, your patience that has been borne with us, and your love that has redeemed us. Help us to love you and to be thankful for all your gifts by serving you and delighting to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. For our benediction, I share with you the theme for this year's General Assembly. May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now may we go forth to live as Christ's disciples in the power of God our Creator, Jesus our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, which binds us together as one.